If you hunt enough, you learn the truth. What you seek speaks a language and knows it well. That's why every Primo's call for everything you hunt is made the right way. We sweat every detail so you get more out of every hunt, and nothing leaves our hand until we know it'll work in yours. Because we don't just make the world's best calls, we speak the language. Primo's.
The only shooting stick with one-handed trigger pull adjustments has a new way to keep you at the top of your game. The Trigger Stick Apex. Built for sturdy support that adapts to unforgiving terrain with easy adjustments to make your big shots. With our Durasteady three-piece carbon leg design and interchangeable rock-solid clamp, nothing tops the Apex. The Trigger Stick Apex, only from Primo's.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Journey Within podcast. Well, I've got Matt Gindorf on with me today. Matt's been a frequent guest of here. Matt does a ton of arranging trips for me and so forth. And Matt arranged one that I went on just literally last month, and that is whitetail hunting in Old Mexico, which completely blew my socks off with how well the hunt went and just what exactly the hunt is and the price point and everything. It's one that I was so amazed with that actually had to do a podcast on it today. Just to recap, for anybody that's looking for a great hunt, like, this is one that you have got to check out. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm good, Mark. I'm good.
Good. Just getting ready to go to SCI, I know. So probably right in the middle of sales season here. So the phone's probably ringing off the hook.
Yeah, it's busy. I mean, this time of year, traditionally, say from November to call it May 1st is pretty bonkers, but you know, it doesn't ever seem to be real slow, but yeah, this time of year is everybody's racing to gather, and then we get to show season. So everybody's out thinking about where they're going and what they're doing. So yeah, it's busy.
Yeah. Well, this is one, like, as part of the North American Deer Slam, the Mexican Texanus whitetail was one that we obviously had on the list to go after. And it's one with my coaching schedule during the winter that's doable. I could get down there and it's a 4-day hunt, so I can make that work over a long weekend. Just go into, I guess, before we do this, obviously Mexican Texanus whitetail, basically a subspecies of whitetail. If you think the whitetails in Texas, very similar size wise, body wise, right? Obviously deer in the South aren't as big as they are up North. It's not a Saskatchewan size deer, just not what they are. Habitat allows them to get super old when the ranches are managed correctly. But just before I kind of dig into my experience on the hunt, Matt, just give the cliff note version of what this is when somebody calls and is looking for a whitetail hunt.
Yeah. I mean, I get that call a lot. You know, it's guys that have hunted the Midwest and guys that they're just looking for, you know, something different, yep. Right? They're looking for something different to do. And I think you touched on a really good one there. It's, you know, they're just a different subspecies of whitetails, but, you know, a much smaller body deer just based on their habitat and where they live. You know, you could take 140 inches of antler and put it on that body size and they just look gargantuan.
Oh, huge.
I mean, yeah. They do. Deer density routinely is quite high just based on simply the lack of hunting pressure that happens on these ranches. The hardest thing to find is just people down there that, you know, embrace the whole management of the whitetail species. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, they just, you know, and manage for age class and manage for size and do the proper, you know, plant little food plots that they can get to grow in the desert. And in that environment, as harsh as it is, when you can get food, you can really start to get a pretty good handle on what your deer herd looks like and how to manage that. And, you know, take those sub quality bucks out and really have a good sense that I can get this deer to, you know, 7 years old type deer. Yep. Same thing they would do, you know, somebody who really does a good job in Iowa or Saskatchewan. Same thing, same management practices. So, you know, we've been digging for quite a while to find the right ranch, and we found it. Yeah, we're excited about the partnership down there.
Yeah, now the ranch, but the guys that are running it down there, Jose and Diego, I mean, they're top of the line, right? Not just, you know, not just from Mexico, but all over the world. I've traveled a lot, and those guys are top of the line.
And that's the big thing for us. There's a lot of, there is a lot of great places that have, you know, big deer or big moose or whatever, big, you know, great bird hunting and that. But really for us, it's the people running it. It's their ability to, you know, entertain clients and do a good job and be timely. And, you know, there's so many things that go into producing a good experience outside of the game, you know, that a lot of people don't recognize.
Yep.
Some people are really, you know, it may be subpar food, you know, wiener water soup, sleeping on a cot. But if I shoot a big animal, then that stuff's overlooked. But when you can take quality animals with great service and just a great opportunity to relax and enjoy where you are, that's really the type of destinations that we're looking for.
For sure. For sure. And one of the big things about this is the season's later. December and January. I obviously went in January this year, but if anybody looking to extend that hunting season, right? Like a lot of the stuff here in Michigan, it's basically there's a late season in December, but by that time rifle season's already came. And I mean, it's tough hunting to say the least. If anybody's looking to extend their hunting season, this is a great one, right? Obviously warmer weather, you get to see the sun. I mean, we go 2 months in Michigan without seeing the sun in the winter.
One of my favorite hunts on the planet is, you know, that last hunt up in Saskatchewan, first week of December, or drawing that coveted late season Iowa tag, right? Yep. That's when the big, quote unquote, the big boys move. But you got to be, I mean, on both of those hunts, you want it blood curdling cold. Yep. You want it. I mean, just, ugh.
Yes.
I mean, but you know, you're hunting a special deer. This is a place where you can extend your whitetail season and still be in really nice weather and still be chasing good quality whitetails.
For sure. For sure. And also this is one, like if you're looking for a lower price point hunt, like that's where I'm like, this is a steal for what the hunt is and the price point. Like this is a steal, especially then you tie in that late season. Like it doesn't shock me that there's so much demand for these hunts once we proved what this place is.
And the really cool part about that too is that, and I knew in my conversations with them as we were, you know, we were working through this and you know, kind of going through our checklist to see if this is the type of destination that we want to dig into, is when, you know, they invite, you know, your typical hunt that you go on, which is a, you know, a trophy hunt. And we try to hunt those, you know, December and January. That's when you're going to experience some rutting activity with the rut really hitting. It could hit, you know, anytime in end of December, January. So that's when we kind of do, we'll call it quote unquote, the trophy hunts. But then we also have in November down there, you know, they asked for our help with our guests to, you know, to help manage that deer herd. And so we do, you know, what's called a non-trophy hunt. It's an opportunity for guys to go down and take, you know, those old 5.5, 6.5 year old 4x4s or 3x3s, which are great old trophies, and you can take two of them.
Yeah.
You know, you buy, you can get the package includes, you know, two management bucks and unlimited hogs and unlimited javelina. If a guy wants to get away, you know, around Thanksgiving, matter of fact, I actually filled those hunts the other day, and that was exactly what the group of four guys were looking for. That'd be awesome.
Yep.
You know, we're done hunting. They're from, where were those guys? They're from Colorado. And they're like, yeah, we're done chasing our whitetails because we do it with, bows. So we do it early.
Uh-huh.
We're done elk hunting. So we're going to go, let's go down to Mexico and do that. So it was, you know, people love that hunt too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so the beauty, I'm going to break down because I've done it. It was just there. The travel to get there is super easy. So you just got to get to Laredo, Texas, right? So for me, That was Grand Rapids to Dallas, Dallas to Laredo. It was an afternoon flight. So I was in Laredo by, I think, 9:30 at night. Jose and Diego met me. They had already checked with the Mexico side that we could get across the border that night. So here I'm thinking we're going to land there. It's going to be 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. We'll have to get a hotel in Laredo and then cross. So that's what I was fully prepared for. They actually arranged with the federal government over there that I was able to cross that night. So by I landed at 9:30. By 10:45, I was already on the ranch. And my stuff was unloaded and we were heading to eat a late dinner. So an hour and 15 minutes from me arriving, obviously goes a lot smoother during the day too, but that just shows, right? As soon as you cross the bridge, the ranch is literally right there. I mean, within 5 minutes we were on the ranch and driving and it was just super easy. The whole bridge crossing going back and forth both ways, right? Going into Mexico was super easy. Coming back into the U.S., super easy. They actually don't cross at the Laredo Bridge. They head about 30 minutes west, cross at a smaller bridge, which is right next to the ranch. Super easy. Anybody that's worried about bringing guns and so forth across, super easy. You just get the guys there. Your information, you just need your 4457 form to get back into the U.S. You get them all the information. They make sure that you've got your Mexican permit, so you show up. I mean, the whole process on the bridge both ways took 10 minutes, right, total. Just super easy.
You and I talked about this before going, but Jose and Diego's attention to detail on everything is, it's the best I've found in the country of Mexico.
By far.
I mean, we have one sheep outfitter that acts exactly the same way, and they're just really, really good at it. I mean, they do a great job of answering questions once you've got the hunt booked. They're in communication with you, full communication, you know, all the way down to, I remember you and I chatted about it, you know, after I got all our paperwork done and you were on, you know, registered for the trip, and then Jose reaches out and, you know, all the way down to, you know, what beverages would you like, and, you know, what snacks do you like? And they've got it all literally perfectly laid out. And so there's just no mystery. It's very easy to relax and concentrate on what you're doing there.
Takes all the worries away. I mean, just, yeah. So,
good at it.
So for me, coming all the way from Michigan, basically take off in the afternoon, get there at night, wake up that first morning and you're hunting, right? So he's got a couple ranches there that you're going to be hunting. We hunted on what he would consider his main ranch, the one pretty close to where the border crossing's at. Spent early hunt. We hunted there. And how they do it is they think Texas. It's basically the same way. They've got you in elevated blinds. Usually there's a feeder and then they also corn the roads. So the first morning we were set on a four-way road crossing. So I basically had 500 yards in four directions that were corned. And once the sun started coming up, I mean, a deer started popping up everywhere. And this was their second rut. So you'd start to see a little bit of a rut activity. That first morning we ended up seeing some smaller bucks, right? Some great genetic bucks. And you're like, that buck's 3.5 and he's going to be a giant in a couple of years, right? Like you can start to tell instantly that they're doing their management practices. Saw a couple of javelinas, saw a bobcat, stuff like that. Just a great first morning. Came back, had a lunch. They've got a couple different lunch options of where you want to eat. If you want to eat outside, they'll bring it to you on one of the tables there if the weather's nice. If not, you go into the lodge. And one thing they do, I mean, the meals are fabulous, right? Lunch, dinner, they're all fabulous. In the morning, you grab something quick and a cup of coffee and head out. Then you can rest in the afternoon. You can go out if you want to try for a coyote. You can do all that kind of stuff. We rested that first afternoon, just filmed around camp. First night we went out, and the only deer that they said was off limits was they've got a double drop tying. That is a year away from being a stud. And when we went to this stand and we went to this blind, Jose's like, this is one of the two blinds that he shows up on. So if he shows up tonight, get footage, but this is the one deer that you can't shoot. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay. Drops us off. 30 minutes later, this deer comes out, double drop tying, just a stud of a deer, but he's 100% right. It just, the deer needs a year. Right. So we got.
Yeah, you can tell he's one of those deer, because Jose was telling me about this deer and actually sent me a picture of it. And you can tell that deer is. I mean, he's he's one of those you look at and go, good night. If we can get him to 6 years old, that is going to be a monster.
Yep. Yep. And that's what it was. So we got to film him for 90 minutes. He was in front of us most of the night, saw some does. And then we had an 8-point pop out. And for me, right, like and Jose said, any management deer that you see, because you're on the trophy hunt, right? If you see a management deer, you can take him. I'm like, okay. But now all of a sudden I'm like, yikes. Right, hunting a smaller deer species than I'm used to. I want to make sure that I'm not messing up shooting a young giant, and right, thinking it's an old deer. So we had this deer come out and we studied him from 450 yards. He worked all his way in. He chased a doe for a little bit and he came around and I'm studying. I'm like, man, he's an old deer, just an 8-point. He's got mass. He's never going to be a giant, right? Mm-hmm. Just never going to be. Like, this is the perfect management deer. But at the same time, they had a set up there over waiting for a big 8-point and a big 10-point. So I'm like, man, first night, I don't know if I want to go out and shoot a management deer with an hour left, like right in prime time. So we wait, and this deer made the mistake of sticking around that last hour until we were just almost out of camera light. I talked to Adam, like the field producer that was with me. I'm like, how are we doing? He's like, we got 5-7 minutes maybe left of light. And I'm like, okay, perfect. This management deer waited around a little bit too long. So shot him, got the first Mexican Texanus that I've ever harvested and went up, and it was what a management hunt is, right? Just a heavy old 8-point that was never going to be a 140-inch deer ever. So perfect management deer. So that kind of, broke the ice, I guess you could say. And that was the first day. Second day, I guess you could say the morning was straight wind. We woke up, and I actually woke up in the middle of the night, and it was blowing about 40 to 45 mile an hour wind. And we went out that first morning, and you could tell everything was just skittish. It was blowing 30 to 40 all day and just skittish. Now, even with that, we still saw probably 25 deer when we went out that morning on that ranch, came back, and the weather forecast looked like it was going to break later in the afternoon. And Jose and Diego were like, would you want to go and try a different ranch? I'm like, sure, let's go and try a different ranch. And they're like, the vaqueros on this ranch have seen a 13 point, and they showed me the picture of it. I'm like, holy smokes, absolutely, I want to go there. Why didn't you guys lead with that? Right. And they're like, this ranch, we haven't developed it to the point that the ranch we're hunting right now is on. It's got all the potential in the world, and it's going to be 100% set for the next year, but it just doesn't have the luxuries we're here. And I'm like, I don't care. Look at this deer, right? Like, this is, I will sleep I'll sleep on the ground for this deer.
And when he's talking about quote unquote develop, I mean, the first ranch you're hunting, I mean, that ranch has been managed strictly, you know, for quality white tails for 10 years.
And that's,
you know, and that first ranch you were on, I think it's important too, everybody, this is all low fence hunting.
100%.
You know, this is all free range. Mm-hmm. It's privately owned. That first ranch, I think, is roughly about 12,000 plus acres.
Yep.
And this second ranch is a ranch that they've been working on for about 3 to 4 years. You know, and when they say, you know, it's not quote unquote set up, they're just managing the deer. Yep. Then they'll go in when they say, okay, now's the time to hunt this ranch.
Yep.
They'll go in, they'll go cut their Senderos. They'll go, mm-hmm. you know, do their blinds, do their blind placement. They've got, you know, obviously some feeders, you know, to put cameras up on and get intel and water and all that type of stuff. And there's a few blinds in there, but it's not a ranch that they, you know, which now that ranch they're ready to fire that ranch up. I think next year will be the first year, but yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. And when I say ready, like, you hop in their main ranch and the windows are all smooth, right? Like, you can go up and down on those things, and like, they have everything meticulously ready to go. Like, the blinds are 100% cleaned out. There's no bugs. There's not, like, everything on it, right? Like, you can tell everything. It was just picture, like, it's so perfect. It's almost weird. Like, that's how dialed in it is.
It's funny you say that, because that is like all these places that we travel and we go around and look at. And there's nothing worse. I can tell a lot by an outfitter when I, you know, okay, we're going to go hunt this blind, or we're going to go hunt this tower blind or whatever it is. And I open the blinds and there's, you know, a piss bottle and there's empties and there's cigarettes. And I'm just like, I mean, the 5 seconds it would have taken to clean up.
Yeah.
I mean, that that doesn't happen on these these ranches.
Absolutely.
These guys, again, from your itinerary to food to everything is meticulous. They do a great job.
And anybody that's hunted Mexico, I know anybody that's hunted Mexico has seen the trash, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ranch that I hunted was the cleanest, hands down, probably 10 to 20 fold more so than the next cleanest ranch I've ever been on. Not one time on any of the roads did I see a beer can, a trash wrapper, anything like
water
that.
Water bottle.
Nothing. Yeah. At the main gates, they actually have a garbage at each main gate for people. I've like in Mexico, it's unheard of. As clean as this ranch was. So when I'm pulling in, I'm like, wow, this place is amazing, right? So anyway, back to the story. Moved to the new ranch. New ranch is only literally 90 minutes away. It's hardly anything. Like I drive longer than that to go to the airport where I fly.
It's mostly tar too, isn't it?
And it's mainly tar, right? Yep. Yeah. Other than that, you're driving on the ranch and you're looking for stuff. So they've got the same thing, right? Like the deer move usually between two or three different elevated blinds that they've got. So this 13 point that they've got a picture of that I see, and I'm like, that's a legit 13 point. You're 100%. You're not lying. Cause you know, when you first hear something like, hey, we've got a 13 point over here, and you're like, sure we do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they show me the picture.
He's a 4x4 with cactus bases.
Yeah. And I'm like, holy smokes, you guys aren't lying. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So we get set up in the blind, and the vaqueros on the ranch are like, this is where we see them the majority of the time. I'm like, perfect. We get set in there, and we're on a road system. So there are two roads off to my left and right that are, you can see for thousands of yards, but they start cornering them from about 500 yards out all the way in. Then there's a feeder right in front. So that's where we're looking. They drop us off, and like normal, we corn one road coming in, they corn the other road going out. And within about 10 minutes, you start to see the first doe. Then you start to see the first small buck. 30 minutes later, we have a 10 point come out that is a shooter. And I go to Adam, I'm like, holy smokes, look at this deer. And and he's like, are we going to shoot it? And I'm like, we literally been here 30 minutes and we've got a 13 point that we know is in the area. I'm like, we're going to wait. 3 minutes later, right? Here comes a big 9 point, giant frame deer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's bigger than the first deer. And I'm like, are we going to shoot this one? I'm like, listen, we've only been here 35 minutes. And it's not like these deer are moseying around, right? I'm like, no, we're not. 5 minutes later, big 10 point comes in that dwarfs the other two. Now I've got three shooter deer in front of me. We've been here 40 minutes. And Adam's looking at me like,
they keep getting bigger.
That's what I'm like. They keep getting bigger. I'm like, this 13 points, he's gonna show up, right?
Yeah.
And Adam's like, we're not gonna shoot that deer that just came out. And I'm like, I've never passed on a deer this big before in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. Right. This deer for a Mexican Texanus is a giant. His body, he's old, right? He's just an old body, giant nose. Carries his mass. It's everything you, as a whitetail hunter, he's everything you want. Clean 10. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Adam, we've got 90 minutes left of light. This 13 point, the way that the deer activity has been this afternoon, he's going to come in, right? Super windy this morning. Deer probably didn't move that much, been bedded down. Just a perfect storm of all these deer coming.
Should be hungry.
Yep. These are just the three shooters in front of me, right? Don't count the other 12 bucks that are just wandering around with 30 does. The place is it's like a zoo. And again, throw it out there, low fence, right? Free range deer hunting. And I'm like, and it's one of those things now that you have to look to the right, glass everything, glass in front and glass to the left, because you've just got deer moving all over the place now.
Yeah.
And this deer comes and he's there for about 45 minutes in the biggest 10 point, he leaves. And it was like the second he left to where my heart sunk. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I passed on that deer. And Adam,
clock's ticking.
And Adam's like, are you going to shoot the other deer? I'm like, well, I can't shoot the big frame 9 or the other 10 because we just passed on a deer bigger. Like, you can't be that. You can't be that guy. Like, as happy as I would be with those other two, we passed on that deer. But I told Adam, I said, if he comes back tonight, I go, that was probably one of those mistakes. I should have shot that deer instantly. If he comes back tonight, we're going to shoot him. But we've got right about 40 minutes left to light, and maybe this 13 point comes, maybe he doesn't. And so we go, and as luck would have it, this big frame 10 comes out with about 20 minutes left to light. And I'm like, okay, game on. I've had my mental time to rethink about what was going on. This is 100%.
And you know it's the same deer.
Oh, 100%. Same deer comes out. Just, I mean, he's the size of a tank standing in front of us. we wait, we get all the footage that we could, just, and then all of a sudden just place it right behind the shoulder and he goes down about 45 yards away. I mean, we're super excited. Go out of the stand. We're hustling to get out there and film before we lose camera light. So we get out there, and I mean, he's just way bigger deer than I was anticipating of taking on this trip. Way bigger, right? Just super, yeah. Super stud of a Mexican Texanus whitetail. Body was built, so forth. Anyway, Jose and Diego get there. I mean, obviously, everybody's excited. Vaqueros are excited. And this is a deer they hadn't seen. This is just on 20,000 acres, you get deer that just appear, right? And it's free range, and like, it's tough to think about. But just like here in Michigan, you get deer that come from the neighbors, right? Chase a doe, and all of a sudden, they're there.
And this ranch is, I think it's like 17,000 acres.
Yep.
It's another big one.
It's a chunk.
It could come from anywhere.
Chunk of territory. So obviously celebrate, finish pictures, video, all that stuff. Great night. We stay at the ranch house on this ranch, which is just as nice as the ranch we left, right? So as you guys talk, if you're interested in booking this one, you talk to Matt about which ranch and so forth you're going to stay at. Both ranch houses are by far the best that I've stayed at in Mexico. Food's great. Accommodations are great, right? Wi-Fi, like everything you need to just have a great time. Jose comes and goes, hey, would you like to hunt here again in the morning? We've got one more trophy tag if you're interested. And if you're successful, you can buy it. If not, just continue on. I'm like, absolutely, right? I've still got 2 days left and we're on this ranch. And like, I'm already here. The cost of me getting there is already done. And for an additional trophy deer, like I'm a realist, right? For the cost of a second trophy deer would probably be one of the cheapest deer that I would shoot throughout the year if it does work out. Just a realist, right? And to get another one on camera and so forth. So we go out, different part of the ranch the next morning. Same thing, wake up, have coffee, so forth. Get out to the stand, thermos of coffee and so forth. They set us up there. And this is we've got a triangle set of roads. We've got a road hard right, road hard left. Road behind us,
the old turkey foot.
Yep, the old turkey foot, no feeder. and the vaqueros are like, on this one there is a big 12 point that we've seen that's pretty regular. And I'm like, okay, 12 point, pretty easy for me to count to 12. I'll get to that one.
Yep,
right. I can identify that deer. Those guys leave, and I kid you not, we have a couple does and a small 8 point come out, young 8 point come out within 3 minutes, right? You can still see that truck leaving on one of the lanes, and these deer are out eating where they just corned the road on this one. And I mean, we're still like, we just do the opening intro and the blind for the video, and like, I'm still getting my thermos out, getting my cup of coffee. You don't know how it is deer hunting. You're just enjoying the moment, right? The sunrise is coming up and just getting situated. And I glance over Adam's shoulder and I'm like, holy smokes, look at the frame on this deer that came out. And he's 600 yards down this two track.
Yeah.
Now I got a cup of coffee. You're trying to arrange. I'm putting that down. I get my binos up and I look and I go, holy smokes, Adam. I think that's the deer. That's got to be the 12. And he's coming on this road fast coming. He's cutting 550. Now he's at 400 yards coming to 300. And I get my gun up and look there and I'm counting. I'm like, now's the moment, right? He's an 11 point. He's not the 12 point. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay.
Sure, he didn't break one.
I don't want to be, again, I don't want to be that guy that shoots the wrong deer. So he's feeding, coming towards us, and about 200 yards, I'm like, this deer is ancient. Because he looked misproportioned at a distance to where he had a small body and giant antlers. No, he's got giant antlers in an old body that's just been around the block about 7 years, right? Just worn down. His face is completely white. Just ears are torn up. This is an old deer. And I'm like, this is 100% a shooter. I mean, 100% a shooter. And we're sitting there and Adam's getting great footage of it. And I just wait until he turns broadside and I touch it off. And Adam and I do the celebration again. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's two great deer in less than basically 12 hours. Right.
Yeah.
We get out of the blind. Head to him, and his head's tucked behind a brush. So I don't see him fully until I walk up and standing by his butt. So I walk up.
How far was the shot?
It was 100 yards by the time it was over.
So
right,
he
right,
came all the way
in. Okay. Right, what I like to call right in my sweet spot of that 100 yards broadside. That's where I shine as a hunter. And I walk up and I turn the corner and you can see his head and I couldn't help it. Holy shit, Adam. I'm a believer in using the best, and that's exactly what Gunworks rifles are, the best on the market. If you want to sharpen your skills and ability, make sure to check out their Long Range University. From the rifle build to the perfect shot, Gunworks is your partner in the pursuit of long range perfection, 1,000 yards out of the box. WTA Tags is a full-service licensing program available to today's sportsmen. Bottom line, they help hunters draw the very best limited-entry big-game tags. They offer professional consultation on where to apply and then properly complete and submit your applications to the states. Tags has the easiest, most reliable, and most complete service to assist you in drawing that tag of a lifetime. For a free Tags consultation, call 1-800-755-8247 or visit them online at worldwidetrophyadventures.com/tags. That's worldwidetrophyadventures.com/TAGS. No matter where I'm hunting in the world, I'm always wearing my Mindel boots. I guess you could say that I sort of live in my Mindel hunting boots. And right now at MindelUSA.com, you can use promo code MPJourney to get a free pair of socks when you order up a pair of boots. Again, that's promo code MPJourney at MindelUSA.com. Now back to the Journey Within.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
And it was just, he had everything. He was bigger than the first deer. He had the mass, the dark chocolate. He had the character around. And this deer was, he's a 7.5-year-old buck, right? We're getting him aged just to make sure. But this is a seven, and this is what a 7.5-year-old does. He's bony, his spine's in. He's as old as this deer would ever going to get, and he was probably bigger last year than he was this year.
Yeah, I was thinking, makes sense.
And I'm just like, this is like, I've hunted, now I'm 40, right? I've hunted since I could legally hunt, I've hunted, and this is probably the oldest deer I've ever shot, minus some does, which I think this, I probably shot some does that may be 60, right? Like just old does. But this is the oldest buck I've ever shot. And just an ideal deer of when you go for a Mexican Texanus, this is it. This is what you want. And I'm like, I was so happy the guys got there. And the vaquero said again, this is a deer they hadn't seen, right? Like they hadn't seen this deer. It just appears. I'm like, is this the deer that they thought was a 12 and this was one? They're like, nope, this isn't it. And they're like, the 12's bigger than this. I'm like, what? And then, 12's bigger, not as old, not as much character, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like the deer they have tucked down there for guys that are looking for trophy deer are just, it's insane. So here you get a lot of questions, and this is what I'm going to answer, right? You bring these deer back, you're going to see pictures posted on my show, so you're going to see videos. These deer look like they're 180 to 190-inch deer.
Mm-hmm.
They're mid to high 140s deer. That's what these deer are on the body. Great trophies for the area that are down there. And that's what these deer are. If you're going to bring a tape to them, that's when you go down there for trophy class deer, this is what you're going to get. I don't know one hunter that would have passed on either of these deer that I shot down there. Nobody.
Yeah.
They're just perfect for what they are for the subspecies and what the hunt is.
I was going to say that's what the subspecies is. I think we've killed. I mean, he's shown me a couple pictures of some ancient old bucks, you know, in those perfect environments, you know, where the desert's got tons of rain and usually those big antlers show up a year and a half after the big rain, unlike what most people think, you know, when it rains in the desert, all this, you know, they got a wet spring. Mm-hmm. This year's going to be amazing. That's just not the way it is. What happens in the desert when it gets rain is that those bucks, those big old bucks, they just got better places to hide. So usually it's a year and a half after the good, you know, when the desert's really been wet.
Yep.
That's when you see those big, it happens the same thing with mule deer too.
Yep. It just takes years and years.
You know, so
nutrients.
But yeah. He's showing me some pictures of bucks that, you know, have touched that 160 mark,
mm-hmm.
but the norm of a trophy class whitetail down there, the norm is, you know, that 140, you just call it 140 to 150.
Yep. And they look for their subspecies giant, right? It's like saying I'm going to go coos deer hunt and I'm looking for a 135 inch coos deer.
Yeah,
right. Exactly. It's a, no. Like great, great coos deer are 110 inches to 120. Great coos deer, right? Exactly. All those are book coos deer. Like same type of thing. You just got to know where you're hunting and what you're hunting.
I just love the way those deer look. I mean, I love the chocolate antlers, and you know, you swear they're big bush bucks from Saskatchewan. And what most people don't realize is those deer in the desert, they carry really good mass.
So much mass. Right. And here we are. I mean, this is third day, right? And just an absolute great time. So mm-hmm. we decide to head back to the main ranch. Because I've got that afternoon, the next morning, and then I'm going to fly out on day four, to get back. Cause I got to coach on Monday. So fly back on Sunday. So we go back, right? I've got two awesome trophy deer and a management deer. And the guys are like, you want to go for some javelinas tonight? And I'm like, sure. And I asked a question, how many javelinas do you guys normally take off the ranch a year? And he's like, we try to target 100, but it doesn't even do anything to the population. I'm sitting there trying to comprehend that, right? Like you're taking 100. So how they normally do a javelina one is if you want to, you can sit in a blind, obviously, but they're like, you know, last afternoon, you're not going to hunt another deer. I'm like, listen, I've got three deer, guys. I don't want to shoot another management deer. Like I can't write the script any better than the last two deer. I'm good, right? Like three deer in 3 days. Like I'm super happy. They're like, let's go for some javelinas. So they're like, well, what they did is they went and corned the roads, right? We corned the roads on the way out. You go out with about 3 hours, you corn for about an hour, hour and 15. And then they've got this little vista that they like to take you to. And for me, all of a sudden they bust out a bottle of wine, right? And you're sitting there and having a glass of wine and just kind of watching the sun go down a little bit, talking with the guys. Now, like, I'll stress it. Jose and Diego are amazing. Like, just amazing, right? The whole place is run awesome. Do that. Yeah. And they're like, okay, now it's time to go back. We'll see if we get any javelinas. So you high rack on the way back. And shot four javelinas on the way back. Could have shot 50, right? Could have shot 50. They're all over the place. Shot a big male. I was super happy.
Cool little animals.
Oh, so they call cool. the guys call them little corn thieves. That's the corn tax is what they say. And they're just like, I sat in the blind and we probably saw sporadically in the blinds. We probably saw like 12, right? A couple groups of two. When we hunted the corn roads where I said the serious populations are, we probably saw 80, right? And that's just what's in the roads. That's not anywhere else. They're like, no, they're javelinas all over the place. Just a great addition, right? Saw a bobcat from the blind. One thing I didn't, I probably hindsight the last morning we decided to sleep in. I'm like, guys, listen, I've shot three deer, four javelinas. Like I'm as a hunter, I don't want to push my luck. I've had a great time. Last morning, let's sleep in, have a good breakfast, just get packed, enjoy everything. The last morning, I probably could have went out and called for coyotes or bobcats, but I had so much fun on the trip already. And I'm in the field, and I know, like, you can push a trip too far, like you're having too much success. Like, I don't want to jinx the next time I'm in the field by having this one go too good. And then... Yeah. Travel back, right? Caught an afternoon flight out of Laredo. We took off from the ranch 3 hours before my flight. I was in the airport checking in less than an hour after I left the ranch.
Yeah.
And
it's such a smooth little spot. I mean, it's easy. It's no worries, hassle-free, in and out. They take you. It's not like you go across the border, we'll meet you at the ranch. I mean, they kid glove you from the start.
No. It's awesome. And I travel a lot all over the place, new places. This is a place that I'd 100% go back. One, the timing of the year, right? If I can go back in January when the weather's crappy here, price point, super nice to go down there. The food is great. The people are amazing. The lodging's awesome. The equipment's top of the line. And then what you're really going for, the management and the deer that you're going to be going after are top of the line too. right? Yeah. It's got everything. Like, this is one of the, like, I got done with this and I'm like, this is one that we have to do a podcast on. We just have to let people know this is one of the hidden gems that are out there for people that are looking for a top of the line whitetail hunt at truly like a price point that's, it's like in today's world, like you just don't get a price.
It's manageable.
You can't. Right? Like this, yeah. So I can understand, like, you get a lot of groups of four guys that go down. Like, if you're looking for this is a great group trip to go down there.
And that's one of the cool parts too. Max capacity at the lodge is four hunters.
Yep.
It's not a hotel. You know, there's not 12 rooms. I mean, it's literally four hunters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just you and your buddies, and you've got, you know, all these acres to yourself. And it's also a great destination for archers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, archery hunting. I mean, I'm sure the next time you go back, you'll probably bring your bow.
After having been there 100%.
Yeah. Yep. You can be successful in the same class of deer.
Yep. Yep. And it's just, there's so much. I mean, for me in Michigan, right? Like, we hunt. Our family property here in Michigan is a 500-acre piece, which has taken us 30 years to build that up to 500 acres, right? And that's a giant piece of property for our area.
Yeah.
Between the two ranches I was hunting, it's 35,000 acres.
Yeah.
And it was just, not for that week that was booked, it was just me. But for a normal week, it would be 400s over 35,000 acres. Yep. So, I mean, everybody gets their own 8,000 acres to hunt. Now, put that in your head here and translate that into the U.S., right? Like,
with deer density like that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But, yeah, no. the group I had in there before you in December had an absolute blast. Four old fellas that just love traveling together and heckling each other, and they rebooked, and they're back in there next year. I mean, they're like, yeah, it's awesome.
I bet that's what you see, is a lot of groups that are going to rebook on this one, just because it's like, it's everything I just listed, right? Right. Perfect time of the year, right price point. Trophies are great. The accommodations, the people, it's got everything you want to go and have a good time. And I'll stress this again, the travel, which sometimes going to certain parts in Mexico can be a little bit longer, right? Depending on where you're going to hunt, which ranch you're going to hunt, the travel to get here is super easy.
Yeah. But, in and out, hassle free.
Yeah, in and out. But that's all part. Like I talk a lot as part of doing the North American Deer Slam, like any of the other slams I've done, right? Forcing me to go to places that are different off of what I would normally do, and to see the different types of hunting that are done, the different methods, different people, like to be able to compare them now that I've done certain ones has been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Matt,
the future's bright down there for sure.
Yep.
You know, and he's got his management practices on different ranches and that type of stuff are good. He's got at SCI, we're going to sit down and talk about a coos deer ranch that he's had for about 5 years now, and they're going to open that up because they feel that they've got the age class of deer to be able to, you know, fit the bill that's their standard. And yeah, so we're going to talk about that.
Are they, is that in Chihuahua or is that in Sonora?
It's on the other side. It's south of Hermosillo.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
I like the sounds of that, actually. Yeah. So this was number 13 on the North American Deer Slam for me, right? Yeah. Out of 31. So inching forward, we got some exciting ones planned for this next year. U.S. base. So far, we're going to get one or two down in Mexico too, but it's been pretty darn exciting. Now, deer hunting is deer hunting, right? Like, if you're going somewhere and you know what, you're in one of those low periods or the moon phase is off. I mean, it's definitely hunting. That's where a lot of the planning comes into making sure it's a successful trip. And especially some of these subspecies that aren't quite as well known off, going with the right people in the right areas.
Well, that's one of the things with your individual quests that you do. And I talk the same thing about just clients, you know, and these hunts, they fill up so fast, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, planning ahead, and that's one of the things that you and I do together so well, is, you know, what are we doing in 2 years?
Exactly.
Because then that allows us to fit your schedule, which is no different than a lot of other people's schedule. Everybody's busy, but we can really dig into what are we after, mm-hmm. you know, where do we need to be, and what are the best dates to get in there? you know, maximize our time. And then at that time, you know, we're in the right spot. We're with the right people. We're chasing the right species that we need. And now it's just, we got to turn it over to Mother Nature and hunt hard for 5 days,
six days,
8 days, whatever it is. So that's one of the things that makes, you know, a lot of your hunts successful. It's not just, oh, it's Mark and he gets to go hunt always at the greatest spots. Mm. You're hunting the same spots that anybody else has the same opportunities to go hunt. We just plan things out in advance, sometimes 3 years out.
Yep.
You know, to just make sure we're maximizing our schedule to be in the right spot at the right time to maximize movement and things like that.
So yep.
It's good.
100%. Well, thanks for lining this one up, Matt. It was a great trip. Looking forward to some other ones. So I got to ask, are you happy that you're not helping as much with the South American Upland Slam and Brian's kind of taking the reins on that one since he's got all the experience down there? Or are you relieved?
Happy. Just still involved.
Yep.
Still involved. But Brian does a great job. And I think these are trips that Brian's very familiar with. Oh. And yeah, I mean, I enjoy the quest thing. I do as much of a, there's a lot of details involved in that whole process, for sure.
A lot of details and a lot of stress once you get in the field and the clock is ticking.
that was
the one. Anybody that's listening, Matt has got a few calls to get reamed out. Once nothing of his wrongdoing, 100% on me when I'm in the field and feeling the pressure.
Well, we've had some conversations, especially. We both for our lifetime, we will always reflect back to the North American waterfowl.
I mean, it would talk about stressful. Holy smokes.
Yeah. You know, getting a text and said, holy, there's no way this is going to work. And I'm like, we got to hunt it all the way out. And, you know, Mother Nature just blessed us with that, with some impeccable timing of collecting the species that we needed. Right. And I've said it once, and you and I have talked about it. That is one of the things that makes you successful in the field. And I talk the same thing to clients, is your ability to just say, hey, I'm here. This is what we need to do.
Yep.
And we hunted out. We don't hit panic buttons. We don't, you know, the panic in a lot of times in that North American slam was, okay, we thought we were going to get three species here. We've only got two. We got one that we didn't get here. Now we've got to really kind of shift gears really quickly, because now what was supposed to be six left is now seven left.
Yep.
And where the other six live, seven doesn't live there. So we gotta figure out where we're going to go get a hooded merganser or a ruddy duck or something like that. So we had to move fast because we already had that schedule built. So that was a lot of the, we'll just call it stresses and obstacles and that whole thing. But it was, the reason we were successful a lot of times is we didn't think we were going to get it. And all of a sudden we got it.
Yep. Yep. Then you have a good day where you check two or three off that you weren't even expecting. Yeah. And you're like, we're back in the game. We're back.
Or you go back to the canvas back deal, right?
Yep. Yep.
I mean, it's just, they're here. We're just not, it's just not happening. And the weather pattern looking ahead for the next 2 days while I'm here, it ain't going to be any different. We just got to hunt it out. And prayers and patience and persistence is what, there's our opportunity. And then we're eating chips and it happens.
Yep, eating chips. Eating chips, shoving them back in the coat, standing in water. Certain things I'll remember until I die.
Yeah, I mean, it's just those are, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, cool. Go ahead.
I do. I've enjoyed the whole process. So it's good. And I one of the good things with Brian being able to assist you doing that stuff, and I help him do that also, but it's now we can really, you know, get serious more about the whitetails and that type of stuff and start chiseling that stuff. And you've got other slams going on that, you know, have been going on for years. So we'll just keep pounding them away.
Yeah. Well, I like to stay busy. I like to have something to chase at the end. Keeps me young, even though going back to that waterfall slam, I aged about, I don't know, 32 years during that whole ordeal. Gray hair and bald all in the same time.
I don't think there was anybody who thought we were going to pull that off.
No. No, especially with having to go to Greenland for that king and St. Paul being closed and just couldn't get to Canada, right? Like, I keep thinking, if we would have gone to Saskatchewan with Lance and Emily up at Goose Haven for 10 days to start the season, I'd have been close to half over, right?
Yeah, we would have knocked off. I mean,
we
would have knocked off a ton of
them. Yeah, and it would have been someone like the Crane. We probably would have got the Crane up there, so then it wouldn't have been the separate trip. And there's some of those that wouldn't have been a separate trip, which would have freed up more time to focus on some that you needed. But then at the same time, I'm like, man, if I would have got the Crane up there, then I wouldn't have been able to go and experience the Crane hunt in Oklahoma.
Or the
Helly Hog hunt. Like, there's so much that goes with it. Now I just speak to that of like, man, those guys are dialed. Like, so many things, right? Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Shane's having a heck of a year down there this year, too.
Joey from Salt River was just over there, I think, the last couple of days. Yep. Yeah.
You're Joey's son's guiding for Shane.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's going to be back next year too. I just talked to Joey the other day. He's going to guide turkeys, and then he's going to do the velvet hunts at Salt River. Then he's going to boogie over with Shane and do some of his Saskatchewan stuff and then settle into Oklahoma.
Yep.
How would you like to go back and be in your early 20s and single?
Yeah.
Is that an option?
That is one of the things. I mean, that's what I did.
That was
what Joey's doing and what a lot of these guys are doing. I mean, that's what I did, you know, from Alaska to Argentina, you know, from the Platte River to Montana to, you know, Iowa and all the way through. I mean, I guided waterfowl hunts and bird hunts and fly fishing trips. And that's just, I was a nomad.
And look at how much experience you gain from that to what you do now.
Yeah. Who would ever thought that all that, I just walked around with, I'd take tip money from there to get me to here, to make more tips, to get me to there, to make more tips, to buy this, to go this, to do this. Who would have thought that all that would have come together? And, 20 plus years later, I've been sitting in this chair,
Such is the life story.
Yeah. It's amazing. But now my boys are just ate up with waterfowl, and they're like, I'd love to be a waterfowl guide. I'm going to go play college baseball or do this. And then I'm like, don't do that.
Don't do it, Dad.
Here's what you do. Get really good at baseball, and then you can go wherever you want.
That's very true. Very true. Very true. Yeah. And the shelf life is a lot younger on the baseball than it is on the waterfowl hunting, too.
That's right. That stuff would be my oldest will drive hours in a blizzard and just to go see if this pond's got greenheads in it to go back and set up on them tomorrow morning.
Oh, so I mean, he's eating up with it.
Yeah. And now, he throws his little brother in the car with him, and they just, he's got a little, a Ford Edge that he'll cram full of decoys. And I'm just waiting for the call one of these times. It says, Dad, I got the Edge buried in cornfields.
I thought I could make it. It didn't make it.
It looked dry. It looked dry. It's not dry. So no, it's all good. Yep.
Well, those are kids that are living a good life, doing it the right way, though. Like, there's so many other things that they could be doing, and being eaten up by waterfowl hunting is probably the best thing that they could possibly have right now.
Yeah, that's true. It is. And then that combine that with OnX, and it's just not even fair.
Yeah. Well, cool, Matt. Thanks for hopping on today. This is, it's again, right? This is one of those special places and offerings that we have. Anybody that's listening that wants more info, give Matt or the team at WTA a call, and we can get you lined out.
I'm more than happy to help.
Perfect. Thanks, Matt. Have a great one.
All right. Take care, Mark. Bye.
Thanks for all your support and downloads. If you like this episode, please go and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, as that always helps. Do you want to book that hunt of a lifetime? Then give the team at Worldwide Trophy Adventures a call at 1-800-346-8747. Or if you want to start a tags portfolio for those limited entry tags, call 1-800-755-8247. Enjoy your journey.